This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice, and be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher, where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Collective Conscious, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I'm Michael Eric Owens.
And I'm Deshaun Thornton.
DTT. Man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. On a sunny day. Spring is here.
Is it here?
It is, I think.
I don't know. Hopefully. But the other show,
the groundhog didn't see a shadow.
No, but hold up. The other day, you said you had a cardinal. Right.
Came through the backyard.
And that was a sign for you.
Yeah. That spring is either on the way or here.
That's not definitive, though.
How not?
No, we need a definitive. Is it here?
I don't.
Because we know it's on the way.
Okay. So spring is on the way.
All right. All right, man. So you doing all right today?
Doing good, man. Anytime I get to hang out with Money Mike and Rich Richard, I'm having a good day.
I like that. Rich Richard, because we paying him enough money.
Oh my God!
Is that a new shirt?
Is that a new?
Look at him, man! New haircut. Hold on, bro. How much did we pay last time?
I don't know.
We need to cut it down because
discount time now.
Man, he looking fresh.
Is that a new smile on his face? Oh my God!
I think he got a new tat on or something. Is that a new tattoo? Man, we paying you too much. But the brother is smooth though. He look good, man. And hey, we excited about what's going on here at Black and Studios, folks. We had a great week and we got some new shows coming your way here soon. And again,
Black and Studios is growing.
It's growing.
That's right.
Almost to capacity.
How many shows we got now?
Seven shows.
It'll be 10 by the end of this month.
He can't handle 10. I told him he only one. He think he's Superman.
This is a full-time thing, man. Rich, you got to get on board,
but
brother.
He still got that special mix over there sitting next to him.
Yeah, always sipping on something. Ain't that it?
Hey, man, but you know what? We in this crazy, and we keep going back to this, right? This crazy election cycle that we're sitting in right now.
And it's so crazy that I wish we would be spending more time having some meaningful conversations about the election and the candidates, but we have these clowns who are running, and it's just a circus show.
Man, and you know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, I guess, is this the second or third Super Tuesday or whatever they call it that's coming up on us again for the Republican Party?
And they can't decide.
Man, winner take all. I think, you know, you got Ohio coming up, Florida coming up, and Rubio is hoping to pull off Florida. But let me say this, it's crazy out there right now.
I'm just glad Oklahoma didn't vote for Donald Trump. I was worried.
Well,
as red of a state as we are, I just didn't know which way it was going to go.
But they chose Cruz, though.
They chose Cruz. I mean, the lesser of the evil, I suppose. But
I think that's the same. That's just different side of the same coin, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Cruz is smarter than him, by the way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Constitutional lawyer. I mean, he tried some cases before the Supreme Court. He's a bright dude, but he's just crazy.
So when it comes to this presidency thing, there are people who are qualified in their everyday jobs. You have Ben Carson, who was a full-time brain surgeon, which he was really good at. Donald Trump, a very established and wealthy businessman, which he was really good at. But these people are now crossing over into the political realm, and it's like the skills are not translating over. And it seemed like the people that were smart or were respected at one point in time now seem retarded.
Oh, well, you know, and I mean, your point is very valid, especially with Brother Ben, right? Brother Ben was one of these dudes that was highly respected throughout the Black community. But, you know, if you look back in retrospect, the crazy things that he was saying about the president anyway was ridiculous. And so I throw him in the same boat as I throw Clarence Thomas. to be honest with you. I think both of them lack common sense. They made it to where they are because they have some talent.
They got some part of it right.
Yeah, but affirmative action had a lot to do with it, which they deny. Okay. Mm. So I have issues. I have huge issues with Ben Carson. And you know, he came out and he endorsed Donald Trump. And he said this: even if Donald Trump turns out not to be a great president. Okay, so he starts out, even if he turns, what kind of endorsement is that?
Even if he sucks at this thing, that's very important. Yeah.
Well, hold on. If he just fails, I mean, who's, what kind of, man, don't endorse me.
I mean, like, take
the mic from him, you know?
The most important job in America, right?
Right.
And he's given an opportunity for somebody to be bad at it and endorse him.
Oh, man, it's crazy, right? And, you know, he says here that... he said, which I don't think is the case. I think he's going to surround himself with really good people. But even if he didn't,
even if he get the presidency wrong, and even if he's not riding with the right people,
he says right, we're only looking at 4 years,
and it's only 4 years of our lives that we'll have to deal with it and be okay.
I mean, man, who makes such a statement as that? I mean, that speaks to the mind. You know, I mean, maybe I don't know, man. That just sounds ludicrous to me.
It sounds totally bass ackwards, as one of our guests said, and I like to take that, Dr.
Kitchen,
right? Yeah, he used that term, so I'm going to use that. That sounds bass ackwards,
right.
And I don't condone it. I don't approve of it,
man. You know, so we only have 4 years, opposed to multiple generations, and perhaps the loss of American dream forever. Carson, wow. I don't even know how to rationalize that. It's only 4 years, folks.
I feel like I'm
so put anybody there
brain cells by the second I have to discuss these people, man.
Only 4 years. Only 4 years. Only, why is it important? Years. It's only 4 years. Who takes a job and says that? Man, what if somebody was hiring you, right? Mm-hmm. And you sit down there and say, well, if I don't do the job correctly, you know, it's only 4 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You're only going to pay me for 4 years.
Believe
so who really
in cares? Me. I may or may not get it together, but
right? It's only 4 years.
Rock with me one time.
Oh, man, that is ridiculous. Only 4 years. Well, I say this, an endorsement by Ben Carson is probably worth what we say back in the day, a wooden nickel. You ever had one of those?
I never.
Did
never
I date myself?
Wooden nickel.
Yeah, we didn't have no wooden nickels. Oh. No. I heard of them.
You heard of them?
Yeah.
Richard said you had a couple.
No, that's what I'm going to give you the next time we get
right,
a bill.
Right.
I'll give you 100 wooden nickels. See how you like that. But yeah, it's man, I tell you what, man. And speak for a minute about this violence at Trump's rally.
Oh, man, we had talked about this on the last show, and Trump has had a slew of incidents at his rallies. People getting beat up, people getting jumped, people getting slapped upside the head. And it's like the common occurrence. You go there, it's going to be a problem.
Chicago,
they shut his rally down. There was a big
man. I was proud of Chicago, man. I have to be honest with you. You know, that's in my neck of the woods, man. I was so happy to see them shut it down. Like, you're not bringing that to Chicago. Come on,
yeah,
bring it on over here. I man, that to me took. It was not just organized, but it took courage and fortitude.
For
them to stand up and do that.
I was actually reading something on Donald Trump's Facebook page that sent out a. Kind of a warning to Bernie Sanders, you know, if you're going to send your protesters to my rallies, you know, just wait until I send my people over there.
Well,
and to me,
all,
that's like the Crips and Bloods. Yeah. Like,
right.
I mean, what is this? The politics or the pile of pimps?
But listen, you do know now, Sanders has nothing to do with this.
True.
I mean, to sit there but what he wants to do is to change the conversation, to disrupt what's happening on the other side of the aisle. And to take the spotlight off of himself. He has been inciting violence for I don't know how long in his campaign, talking about punch him in the face. And back in the old days, you know, we used to you carry out on a stretcher. When was the old days, man?
Yeah, when was this break?
I don't know. Was it when blacks were slaves? When was the old days? I don't know. When we couldn't vote? When was the old days? You see that question I posed on Facebook about... when was America great?
Yeah. And for who? I've seen a lot of people also ask that question.
I mean, to me, it's a legitimate question.
As a veteran, somebody who served this great country.
Yes, sir.
In your opinion.
And the only, matter of fact, armed forces that exist is the United States Navy.
Okay. All right now.
Let me say that.
All right Navy. Now.
I'm just going to say that. Did I say Navy?
All right now.
I said Navy.
All right.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
In your opinion, mm-hmm. what about those times were great for you in regard to America, if there were any, that you could highlight or point out?
You're turning the question on me.
Yes, I'm turning the question
saying,
on
when,
the asker.
When was America great? Never.
Never. Never.
America has never been great.
Never.
America has always been running from her past, mm-hmm. her past of subjugation, her past of what we want to say, almost genocide, not just of black people, but also of Indian native people. America and what they did to the Japanese camps in America. Mm-hmm. We can go on and on. We can look at, you've heard me say this before, convict leasing. Mm-hmm. You've heard me where ex-slaves were sold back to corporations to work next to nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can look at Jim Crowism. Okay, where black men and women weren't allowed to even use the same restroom or bathroom or mm-hmm. or eat at the same restaurants. Let's talk about civil rights, and they had to face dogs and jail time and the assassination of great leaders as Dr. King and Bobby and Robert Kennedy. Let's Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the modern day incarceration, mass incarcerations, where even you can talk about the policies of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, which created this mass incarceration,
and the scandalism,
which also damaged so many people that were on public assistance and so forth. So now you got private prisons where individuals have become revenue streams for corporate America. So when you say to me, when was America great? America's never been great. America has been trying to achieve her greatness, but until she recognizes the disease in which exists in America and somehow seek some type of healing from that, America will never be great.
Wow. End of show. Right
in
there.
The show.
That was good.
I know I'm going to get, oh, he got, I'm sitting around offering plate.
That was plate. Hot.
Because I do need some money. Times is hard. But I'm going to say like this. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great question because I proposed it because I wanted people to, he said he going to make America great again.
Yeah. And whatever that means.
So I'm saying when? When was America, let's talk about that. When was it great? You tell me. I don't know, man.
Maybe he's making all that money on Wall Street is what he's talking about.
Well, great for who?
Great for him.
I mean, that's, maybe some people can say it's been great to them. You know, I've heard people say that, yeah, it's been great. But nobody can define greatness.
Yeah.
When it comes to America. Define it for me. Was it Civil War?
Which
was it great then? I mean, again, you know, when you fighting over slavery or not, was it great then? I don't know. Was it great when the Galveston slaves finally found out that, you know, that they were finally freed, even after the Emancipation Proclamation has been proclaimed January 1st, 1863? It took them all the way to what? June 19th, 1865? Mm. So was it great for them? I mean, talk about sharecropping. You know, when sharecropping, we gonna charge you expedient prices and we gonna rip you off because you can't balance your books and you don't know what time it is. So was America great? I mean, we go on and on and on and on and on.
Wow.
No, that is a lie. America has never been great. I served this country. I'm glad you brought that
That's
out.
Right.
Okay. I served this country.
And I think it's important that people understand that, you know, from your perspective, it means a lot more than just people saying, you know, when was this place great? And I'm glad I gave you a time just to calm down over there because
I
seen the meter getting so red.
Yeah, it was getting up there.
It was
there,
getting
bro.
So red. I was like,
Richard was like fanning me off and stuff. I'm like, yeah, bro, you got
but
some
you
grapes.
But you made a lot of great
Give me some
points.
Grapes, bro.
but you make a lot of great points, and I'd like you to continue with that.
Well, no, I mean, it's just, I think we really have to examine what people are saying in our society, in our culture. That's why we do this at One Mic, One Voice all the time, and challenging, you know, challenging the thought progression that's going on out there because it's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
It's untrue. Mm-hmm. And until we embrace that idea, brother, until we say, no, we haven't been great, but how can we be great?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we move together as one country? And how can we uplift the least among us? I mean, we can even say, I'm about to go somewhere now.
Uh-oh. Well,
okay, we got a few more seconds. Okay. No, we got a few more seconds. I'm going to just drop this and then we come back. But this is what I'm going to say. When you talk about America being great, okay, look at the condition of our churches. Mm-hmm. Okay, most divided day in the country, black and white churches. Okay, you're a black person, you can't even walk in a white church. You're a white person, you can't even walk in a black church. Mm-hmm. Okay, America's great. And we got our so-called black leaders running around here talking about what? God is good, but the person in their congregation can't even pay their light bill.
That's right. They're still expecting you.
Our communities are not even great. Our churches are not even great. Our families are not even great. I think we need to take a break. God, we'll be right back. DT, this segment is being brought to you by Selfie Moon. You know, we take those pictures, right? Uh-huh. That, you know, they all dark, man, and you can't even tell who you're trying to find the light, or you might even be in I ain't gonna even say in the club, because you might be in the club, let's say.
Professional events,
exactly, right? And you're trying to get that one picture, man, capture that moment. Well, listen, Selfie Moon is what you want to buy, man. It goes right on your phone.
Okay.
All right, man.
You can get the perfect lighting.
It's a brand new product. Folks, go to theselfiegods.com. That is theselfiegods.com. And guess what? When you buy one of those selfie moons, you're supporting the One Mic, One Voice show. A little bit go back to us so that we can continue to do what we do.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscious. I'm calm down, man. Richard gave me a little bit of the special mix, man. That worked.
We got the chance to build up our collective calmness now. Cool.
We good to go.
Cool.
Hey, you know, deviating for a minute, this is like episode 30.
Wow, really?
3-0.
Man, we get so caught up in the conversation. We almost let that go past us.
Man, past historic. 3-0.
30 episodes in, international audience listening all the way around the world, every continent, almost every state in the United States. Man, congratulations, brother.
Same to you.
Straight up.
Same to you. Couldn't have did it without you.
Man, same here.
Hey, ooh, man, we like the dynamic duel. Huh? You know what I mean? Batman and Robin ain't got nothing on us. Is there another dynamic dude, man, that's Marvel, isn't it?
We gotta have Elijah in here. You know about all this.
Come on.
We need Elijah.
On this show, he should tell us if there's another dynamic dude out here. But hey, man, I mean, great working with you, man. I mean, each and every time we come into Blackened Studios and what you do, somebody was just telling me today, man, how dynamic you are.
Really?
Just today.
Really?
I ain't lying.
Really?
As the old folks say, God's my witness.
God.
Okay.
As the new school say, on everything.
Yeah, just today, man, was telling me how dynamic you are. And I said, you know, you have great observation because this young man, this brother, knows his stuff, man. I just appreciate the work that we're doing. And
three to the O. Here we go.
And we appreciate all our listeners, like you say, and all the feedback we get. And just keep it coming on. I know we mentioned that we're coming up on 35.
Want to be able to spend some time with the listeners, have a nice venue to hang out.
Absolutely.
And have some conversation with.
Conversation.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be great.
We'll be loading up those details to our Facebook page, to our Instagram, and to our Twitter. So follow those for all the new information. We'll be leaking it out just a little while.
And make sure you got an informed opinion.
Yeah, that's important, man. That is so important because we talked about this on the last show. I hate that I keep saying that we talked about this. We've been talking about a lot of stuff for a long time. But being informed is so important because you can come in with your observation or your opinion, and it can only be one-sided. And that can draw you out of the conversation because you don't see everything from all sides. So when you have an informed opinion, you're a little bit more equipped. You're a little bit more prepared to discuss because you understand it from several different angles. It's just not like me being from one place and generalizing that for everybody. So
absolutely.
Be informed or else Mike gonna chop you down.
Hey, listen, we value your opinion, but make sure you do your research because that's what it's about. It's about adding to the conversation,
right?
Adding volume to the conversation, adding depth to the conversation. And I tell you, teach me.
Yes.
I'm open to
yes.
be teached.
Be teachable.
Teach me.
Yes, be teachable.
But don't come weak.
Don't teach me something new.
Yeah.
Don't be coming with that whackness.
Yeah. That's we don't exist for that. We're trying to move the conversation forward in a way that enriches us all. I mean, truth enrich. I know truth is hard to digest, right?
Yeah.
It's hard, but when you get it down, when you get it in you, it can change you and transform you.
That's real. That's so real.
Build your mind up. Move you away from your ignorance. Richard looking at me like, yeah, we fucking. Nah, bro, I'm going to slow it up. Yeah. But what I'm saying is the truth, though. You have to embrace what is truth and stop hanging on to the falsehoods, the, you know, what mama taught you.
Don't be so emotional. Because,
you know, mama taught you a lot of wrong things. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? And I'm not, now I'm going to get some mail.
That's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with mama. Now, we're not saying ain't nothing wrong with mama, okay?
We love you, mama. But what I'm trying to say is you got to find truth for yourself.
That's right.
And you got to seek it out. And man, let's give some truth right now. This video, this ad that just came out about the quotes.
Oh, from the women.
From the women.
Uh-huh.
Dealing with Mr. Trump. And so we're going to go ahead and play that quote. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about it.
Bimbo, dog, fat pig. Real quotes from Donald Trump about women. A person who is very flat-chested is very hard to be a 10.
I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers.
Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that?
She had the height. She had the beauty. She was crazy. But these are minor details.
I like kids. I mean, I won't do anything to take care of them. I'll supply funds, and she'll take care of the kids.
You know, it really doesn't matter what they write, as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass.
That must be a pretty picture, you dropping to your knees.
There was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her wherever.
Women, you have to treat them like shit.
This is how Donald Trump talks about our mothers, our sisters,
our daughters.
Oh, man, what did we just hear?
We heard a lot of disrespect. Is what we heard.
And
on the part of a one Donald Trump. But it's crazy because he have all these negative things to say about women in general. But when it comes to his family, his daughters, you know, he's praising them to the highest, even to the point where it's like disgusting. Like,
yeah,
don't be talking about your daughter that way, man.
Yeah,
it's your daughter. Like, she's so beautiful. It could have been a modeling. I want to date her. If I would. Yeah. Like, dude, really?
That's kind of inappropriate.
Right. Right. I mean, so out of his mouth, I mean, I don't really get surprised when it comes to women comments or things he have to say, because he's been spitting these things out for over some time.
But now, help me. And we have some very special guests that we're going to have on at the last half of the show. So yeah. I'm going to get a chance to ask her opinion of this.
Okay.
But this is what's shocking to me. How can women be supporting a guy that has gentrified them, reduced them to an object? I mean, I just don't understand it, man. I don't know what the appeal is. It used to be a time where women were highly offended by that. They didn't want to deal with it. But now it's like, I hear these political pundits say, well, you know, he's not really, he's not really gentrifying women. He's not really. And it's like, dude, what planet are you on?
Maybe it's just entertainment. Because if we look at it that way, then it can be justified, because you have other people and in other entertainment areas who degrade women, who put people down. And it's like, okay, that's just what they do. It's just for fun. So can we say that about Donald Trump, that this is just for show?
She's bleeding out of her eyes.
And out of her whatever.
You know what I mean? Like, who gets away with that? That's what I don't. I mean, how do you pull that off? I mean, is that
money.
That in itself is okay? There you go. Money, privilege, white privilege. You okay? What if Ben Carson had said that? Now, you know, I got problems with Brother Ben, but what if he had said that?
It would have been a different story.
Okay. Now he would have been gifted hands, huh? He probably would have been gifted legs when they cut him off.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. He couldn't have got away with that. Michael Steele couldn't have got away with that. Man, Don Lemon couldn't get away with it. How this man gonna say? You spoke to it. Okay, it's from a privileged position. And man, again, I don't know, man. I guess if you got money,
you pretty much can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever.
Say whatever you want.
Have any hairstyle you want.
Right.
I didn't say that. Did I say that?
I mean, you can, I guess. It's, have any type of hairstyle you want. Buy your hair if you want.
Yeah, just, you know, put a little weave in.
Yeah.
That, do you think it's weave, though, man, the brother got?
No, he said it's his hair. He said that is, this is my hair. He even, like, pulled it a little bit for people to see that it was not coming out.
And but nowadays, they sew it right in your scalp.
I mean, he's rich enough. He could have got a new scalp if he wanted to. You know? But all the hair on it and everything, it's ready to go.
Say you got a new head.
Yeah, I got a whole new head, exactly.
I'm a billionaire. I'm going to get a whole new head.
Yeah.
You crazy.
So, I mean, that the same privilege that give him the opportunity to say stuff like that to people, I mean, the same thing.
Yeah.
Money has greatly influenced the way people perceive him. And, I mean, for all the wrong reasons. You know, I actually had seen an article where there was a guy who had went, a white guy, mm-hmm. who had went to a Trump rally just to kind of see what it was about. He was not a supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time he left that place, man, he felt so much worse, you know, than when he went in.
Wow.
Being around all those people who were hating so much, you know, so evil. Yeah. And it's like, man, it's a bunch of them like that.
Yeah.
So these people who are following Donald Trump, like, I'm just as worried about them as I am about him.
Well, okay, first of all, let's back up here for a minute and say this. Okay, Donald Trump is a creation of a long, I would say, strategy to reject President Obama and to create around him this hatred, this bigotry, this lack of respect, and this idea that he has taken something away from them. You remember this statement, "Take back our country."
Mm.
Donald Trump, make America great again.
Mm.
This idea that we need to move back in time, because right now America has been hijacked by this black man is in office, and somehow there's this group that is against it. And that's what he's tapped into. Mm. Years and years of saying that he wasn't born here.
Yeah.
He's un-American.
Mm. He's a Muslim.
He's a Muslim. Okay, they're taking, the Mexicans are taking over our country. They're coming across the border. All of this fear was created. Trump just happens to walk into it. And I think he was a surprise when he gave that speech, when he said, "And they're rapists."
Mm.
You remember that? Mm-hmm. They're coming across the border. Yeah. And people just went nuts.
Yeah, they did. El Chapo was after him, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. El Chapo said, "Look, yeah, man." He got caught, though.
Kill all the noise.
I thought he was trying to build a tunnel right under Donald Trump. You see what I'm saying? Run out of his house. Because he's a bad boy. He can build
capable.
Some tunnels.
Yeah, they're capable. I mean, don't say, I'm acting like that's a far-fetched idea. That could have very well
happened. Hey, the tunnel's probably still there.
He was
get
probably
to
almost there, just like one knock away from
him. Right, I'm kidding. Brother Donald, huh?
Gotcha, Chapo. Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, it's this idea, man, that Donald Trump is his own creation is untrue. And the Republicans bear the responsibility of creating their own monster. Now, I got Republican friends. I know some of them going to disagree with me on this. But I'm telling you, anybody that looks at the Republican Party and says it is a diverse party, it's got to be clueless. Hmm. When you look at them, do it look like diverse people? I mean, if they find a one black, and put him in, you know, they put him in there, you know, give him a prominent position. And
I mean, I think the rallies may speak to that, you know, like think about any other type of person that's been to a rally and not had problems. Hispanics have been to Donald Trump rallies, the Republican Party, right? Been beat up, been spit on, you know.
Problems.
Problems. Black people have been there. There are problems.
Problems.
So where is the diversity at in the party?
So if there's no diversity in the party is only speaking to a group of people.
Mm.
And these group of people cannot be representative of the entire country. Now, again, I'm not going to say listen, folks, I'm a registered independent. I'm just going to be honest with you. You can look it up if you want to. You know, I vote who I want to vote for. I don't go to party ideology. I don't get into that stuff. OK, but those of you who do, you have a certain platform that speaks to a certain group of people and not to others. And if you look at the Republican Party, it is clear that they're not speaking to minority issues.
Mm.
And so when you tap into that hatred, that bigotry, that discrimination, you tap into, you're talking to some people that can say, yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I feel like and man, what are people upset about? You know, you hear that, you know, they're angry. What they're angry about?
The people who are the Republicans?
Yeah, the people who are supporting Trump. What are they angry about? The economy is better than it's ever been. Okay, people are, the housing crisis is pretty much over, right? Unemployment is pretty much down, okay? So we're not fighting several wars, but we're always in a perpetual war. I mean, we just don't call it war. But yet and still, what are they upset at?
I think you spoke to this earlier when you said that Donald Trump's idea is for us somehow to go backwards by making America great again, by restoring and taking the country back. So in my mind, these people want to go back to those times when we were more divided, more, you know, poor and all the other stuff that we were.
You remember we were talking, this was weeks and weeks ago. Who was that that said, that was that Bundy character that said he was down in, was it Louisiana? And he saw all those black folks sitting on the porch.
Oh,
and
what was it
at?
He gonna grab up one of them damn slingshots, is what he said.
No, not him. No. He was the one that the rancher.
Okay.
That you remember that they were the federal government was taking his land. And he said black people were not doing nothing. And he talked about how they need to, the thing that happened to black people is because they forgot how to pick cotton.
Yeah, as if that was the crown jewel of our existence.
Yeah. Remember we talked about
our greatest achievement.
And we talked about
our ability to forge forward.
And you asked me, how has my life been since I haven't learned how to pick cotton? How have I turned out?
Exactly.
Yeah,
you've been all right?
Yeah, I've been all right.
Okay.
Man. I just
nice
never,
shirt,
yeah,
by the way.
Never acquired the skills.
Did you make it?
No, but I believe it's cotton.
It's cotton, 100%. Huh?
I could have picked it, though, according to Bundy. You know, I could have went out there and, you know.
Would have made you feel more empowered?
If I picked cotton to make my own shirt?
Exactly.
Yeah, that might make me feel a whole lot better. Want ads. Cotton pickers want it. Huh?
Maybe better you should off. Put that on your Facebook and see what response you get.
They probably leave that one alone.
Can you try it? Are you going to try it?
I can put that
all
on.
All right,
there.
Cool. See, let's see what happens. That's a little test run.
I can do that. But, you know, I get in trouble. People unfriend me and call me racist. Delete it. Folks, we will be right back.
Everyone, this is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook and Twitter,
and
blackandstudios.com. So thank you everyone for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
And we love you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Man, it's been a great show.
I'm having a lot of fun, man.
A lot of fun.
Some key points. And
I mean, it's been energetic to me.
I feel like I've got some great people in the studio with us now.
I feel like I've been in the ring, like boom, boom, you know.
You knocked them out. Let me tell you that. Yeah.
I mean, Mama say knock them out.
Yeah, you shadow boxed the heck out of that cat.
I was trying to. I feel better. I feel like I got some aggression off me.
Yes,
I feel light now.
Therapeutic.
And again, we have some great guests in the studio with us, folks. We have two from the University of Central Oklahoma African American Faculty and Staff Association. We have the president DT,
okay,
Chico,
yes,
Herring in here along with Brittany Morgan. How y'all doing today?
I mean, we're blessed.
Doing well, good.
Good to have you.
Thank you for having us.
It's our honor. And you know, anytime we have a chance to bring on folks to One Mic, One Voice, and we are extremely selective about who we let come up.
Coming up in the studio with
that's the word, man. That's why I said we feel very honored to be here.
Yeah, well, we
don't take this lightly.
And you know, I had the opportunity to be the guest keynote speaker at for their Black History Kicking It Off program. And I met both of them immediately. Impressed.
Yes.
I mean, yes. We sat down with Chico and brother just opened up the history books, man. I was like, is he speaking today or am I speaking? Because, man, he just went off, man. I was like, man, this brother is dynamic. And then when I met Brittany, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Just her creativity and her passion
and her leadership.
Oh man,
agreed.
I was like, you know what? I was like, yeah, you know what? She, we have to have them on the show. And so, it, you know, for our listeners, and keep in mind, we have folks listening all over the world, as well as in every state. So if you could talk a little bit about the organization, what do you do? And then let's kind of just dip into the past Black History Month and some things you had going on at the university.
Well, ASFA, or African American Faculty Staff Association, is just an establishment of our African American faculty and staff that come together, network, and we try to be a voice and a help for the students, as well amongst us ourselves or whatnot.
Yes, Chico said, it's basically our platform to basically just make our presence known on the campus, because, you know, contrary to popular opinion, we are not naturally included, the African-American or any minority group. We're not naturally included. So we kind of have to carve out our own piece, you know, of the pie and kind of create our own voice on campus. And that's what we do for the faculty and staff. So, and I'm the social and cultural events chairperson. So basically, I just came on to create more events to get the campus, you know, more acclimated, you know, to what we do. And so it's been really fun so far.
She's the fresh new energy.
I am.
It's like the excitement is beaming off her face. Like, wow.
And, you know, I had the opportunity to attend one of the programs, mm-hmm. Brittany, in which you put together. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the event was called the Exhibition of Black Excellence. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, my brain is always going. So I really didn't expect it to turn out the way that it did. And I was very pleased, and I thank God. And I'm so thankful for Chico, because he kept me from having a nervous breakdown on several occasions and freaking out. But I got the idea when I came on. I basically just asked the executive board, what is it that you guys want to see? You know, what is my role? And they were like, you know what? We just want you to get in here, just work. We want at least two events per semester. And so I came in the second semester. And so I was like, you know what? Fine. And so I just thought about, you know, what the social issues, what's going on right now. Like, the state of Black people is always on my mind. And all right. I think self-image is the most important thing, and how we view ourselves. And so I was like, you know what? Every Black History Month, we mm-hmm. hear the same names pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? This time, you know, we're gonna showcase those names that you never see. And then I'm going to challenge people to look within themselves and look mm-hmm. within their own families mm-hmm. to bring out greatness. And that's exactly what happened. You know, a lot of the people that you saw there, they were people's family members. Yep. And so, I mean, and it also...
Great turnout, by the way.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. But, you know, a lot of people, having people that, you know, weren't Black, you know, and I wanted to make that point. It's not just for Black people. This was to educate everyone.
Absolutely.
And to have them leave and say, you know, I didn't know, you know, Hannah Atkins, you know what I'm saying, was the first, she was actually the first Black woman in Oklahoma. Up at the Capitol.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. So, you know, to hear someone say that, like, I didn't know this or I didn't know that, you know, that was what we wanted. That is what we wanted.
Absolutely.
And to have people pose the question, what mark am I going to make on the world? So that was the event.
Well, and I think what struck me initially talking to Chico was that balance that you spoke of. Not, I mean, so many people consider themselves to be Afrocentric.
Right.
They have a very narrow prism through which they see things.
Yeah.
And I think the balance is what I saw in both of you, is this idea that, yeah, I'm Afrocentric, but I realize Black history is everybody's history.
Yeah.
And we got to educate everybody, and that everybody's got to be included. So that inclusion part, I think, is just huge for me. Do you find that, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, but do you find that, are you getting the impression, and I believe you can work around this question, that the impression from the university level is one of inclusion, that's something that is, you would say, at their highest standard? Are they getting that, or do you feel like you're pushing them toward that? What are your thoughts on that?
From what I've seen, yes.
Okay.
It's something that they talk about a lot, and it's something that they're trying to implement on campus. There's a lot of talk of more diverse artwork, diverse rooms, etc. And then they're including a lot more groups within each organization or each event that they're having. They're making them more diverse. So I can honestly say, yes, the school is, you know, attempting to live up to what it speaks about. And I've met with the president, and that's one of his major goals is to open up, even as far as like with staffing and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason that ASFA is around, so we can have our input on decisions that there will be made that affect us or whatnot.
That's beautiful, man. I'm going to be honest with you, because we deal with several universities in that are struggling with even making diversity an important item to address.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's good news.
Well, it's like, you know, when we spoke, me and you talked, and you said that these are conversations that can't be, you know, nothing will happen in 60 minutes or an hour. This is something that we got to continue to talk about. So just the continuation of talking about it, you know, shows a little bit of change. It shows that they want to make the change.
Yeah.
And that's the point. A lot of times people think that things are maliciously done. It's not always malicious. It's not always malice. It's sometimes just flat out ignorance. And and it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. So again, back to my original point, you would think we would be naturally included because we are a part of the human race, but that's not necessarily true. And when you are talking about what represents a certain group of people, then you're looking at the majority of what is. So if you're looking at a PWI, which is a predominantly white institution, you would think that white people represent the majority, and they may, but that is not the only people that are there. So it is important to have ASFA. It is important to have Black Student Association to, and that's what it is. You have to keep having these conversations. Yeah. You can't just say like, well, this is how it should be, so that's what's going to happen. Because as history has shown us, that's not how it works.
Now, what do you, if I was to walk around UCO and I was to pull, say, a minority student, Black or Asian, or if I was to pull them off to the side and say, do they feel like they're being included, represented at this university? What type of feedback do you think I would receive?
It kind of depends on what student. Mm-hmm. You know, there may be some students that say they don't feel like they're included, but that's not to say that the opportunity isn't there.
Gotcha.
You know, I see a lot of opportunity for students. Now, it's upon them to take advantage of the opportunity. You know, we open this door for you, you have to walk through it. We're not going to like drag you through it. But I think overall, you'll probably get probably a mix. Like I said, it kind of depends on what the student, if the student takes advantage of the opportunity. But I think overall, it's still a good look.
Yeah.
And I see the changes. But like I said, it for me personally, because I see the students all the time, it just depends on the student.
And how long have you been associated with the university, bro?
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's 3 years. That's great.
Yeah. I'm right in the mix of them.
Okay. I know Dr. Pope's doing a great job.
Man.
He's doing amazing.
He's awesome, man.
He's doing amazing.
Matter of fact, we were at a meeting together just about a week and a half ago. So Brother Tall too.
Yeah.
I stood up next to him when we were taking that picture after the thing was over. I'm like, man, this cat taller than me.
I'm like, man, you know, national
champion. Bend down or something. Get on your knees or something. You know, I mean, we can look eye to eye or something. Yeah, he's pretty. How tall you think he is?
Like 6'5", 6'6", maybe.
Yeah, he a big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he a big boy. Yeah, looking down at DT.
I was like, wow, that's very rare that I walk up next to people that are taller than me. I'm not very tall, but it's like I'm not used to that.
But you know what? We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to get down to some real. We've been talking about some serious stuff, but politics. They don't know. They in for some stuff.
We're ready.
All right. We'll be right back.
This is Richard Taplin, host of the Black Box Podcast. Wanted to tell you thanks again for listening to the One Mic, One Voice. Please be sure to check out their Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. And while you're on Facebook, go ahead and stop by Blacken Studios. Also, check out our website, blackenstudios.com, to find all the podcasts I record here, including the One Mic, One Voice Show, The Black Box, The Elijah Bailey Show, The Roxy by Design Show, and also the Gamer Stand Podcast. Thanks again for all of your support, and remember, it's Blacken.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice Show, building the collective conscious.
And
man,
calmness.
We got two dynamic guests in the studio with
very
us folks.
Very talented.
They're still here. We didn't let them go. They were trying to get to the door. But I'm sitting by the door, so they couldn't go. But
might grab Chico by the shirt tail.
I'm hanging on to him. You know the brother's strong now. I'm hanging on to him. But you know, I had talked a little bit earlier about asking Brittany a question.
About what we were talking about before they came into the studio.
Before they came into the studio.
So we were discussing Trump, Brittany, and you know, of course we have our views, but as a woman, Donald Trump has said some really sketchy things, you know. And from your perspective, I noticed that on your Facebook page, you made a comment that Donald Trump isn't
can't put
fit.
It on Facebook.
Right.
Donald Trump isn't fit to call bingo, but somehow has made it onto the ballot. Could you
just talk to us a little bit about that? Yeah.
Well, first I need to check those privacy settings on my Facebook page. Because sometimes my fingers work a little faster than my brain. But no, I think with Donald Trump, it is just it is proof of what a plutocracy we live in.
Oh, with a big word.
You know, this is a society truly run by the rich. Mm-hmm. And I think fear is an awesome motivator. Mm-hmm. And I think that all you have to do to be successful is to take people's fears and exploit them. That's all he's doing. Yeah. He's, you know, as far as this make America great again, you know, that's basically saying, you know, well, at one point we were in control and there's no way that, you know, we would have let a black man get to the White House. And there's no way that, you know, all these successful, you know, black people would be flourishing, which was the point of Jim Crow laws or whatever, because we weren't supposed to flourish or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And being a woman, especially, you know, so being a woman and being a black woman, we definitely are not supposed to climb socially or economically. And so when he's saying things like that, he's basically speaking to people's fears and their bigotry, and he's making it okay to feel that way.
Yeah.
And he's saying, well, you're not the only one that feels that way. And so
I feel you. And I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because he's given permission.
Right.
He's given permission. Because I think there was a time, I mean, I was having an interesting conversation. Matter of fact, with Jim, just today I was having an interesting, but he wasn't the one to say it that you were. So I didn't want that was somebody completely,
that was a completely different
listener.
I like the random compliments. That's cool too. I don't have to know.
He think you're dynamic too. But but so we were talking, and it's this idea of in America, people thought like this all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it was socially unacceptable to talk about it, to bring it to the surface. But you're right, what he's given permission now for you to swing at that guy in North Carolina to sucker punch him. You have permission now to act out on that fear.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
He's walking out, man. Yeah. Like, bam.
Slaps. I mean, the cat kept walking, too. He didn't even turn around, you know, to address. He just kept on going up the stairs. Right. It's like, really?
So, in you know, staying with this line of thinking, talking about fear in this country, what do you think? You talked about the economic gangs of black people. What is the ultimate fear in the minds of those that are in this Trump camp?
I believe it's a fear, the same fear that plantation owners, that old master had. You know, it's the reason why he didn't want us to read. It's the reason why, you know, during the slave trade, different tribes were mixed up, because he didn't want, you know, they didn't want you communicating with one another. They fear that uprising. People fear what they don't understand, okay? And I think we've always been a people that could just not be understood, because we don't look like them. And I mean, it really is just that simple. We don't look like them, okay? And so it's like, well, you must be inferior to me because you don't look like me. And so if you think someone to be inferior and you think someone to be less than human, why would you want to give that person any type of power? You know, that is the fear. I think, you know, and if you're on top for so long, don't you want to stay on top?
It's almost like a zero sum game, right? It's like I can't give you because I lose myself.
Right.
You see? Right.
What they don't understand is that you cannot flourish, even in a small micro environment, unless there's equality. Right. You cannot flourish with those that are on top and on the bottom. There's always tension and animosity and indifference. And so you're right. I mean, it's so true that it boils down to, I mean, this is so simplistic, mm-hmm. but it's horrible mm-hmm. to conclude that it boils down to simply, I don't look like you.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I just don't look like you. So because of that, all of these assumptions come into play. You're not smart. You're not witty. You're not equal. You're not
good enough.
You're not good right. enough.
Not
you know?
Up to the task.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Everything that we've overcame. It's just shocking to me that people still find this stuff. People are still surprised by these acts, you know. Yeah. These are not this racism that still exists in America is nothing new. You know, it's been going on since the beginning. Mm-hmm. What are we? We were still hanging people in the 50s, 60s. So mm-hmm. we're not even 80 years removed from this. So the people that were involved in this are still alive or trained some grandkids, kids that are still alive. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just shocking when I hear people surprised that racism still exists in America. When
it's supposed to be a black president, supposed to be post-racial, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a black president. Why would we? Why
not
would we
dealing have, with that race stuff no more?
Right.
Yeah,
so
we're
done with.
Aren't you satisfied, Chico?
Not in the least of it. That's nowhere near satisfied. Yeah,
giving you jobs and
but
right.
even when people bring up the president and say we have a black president, things have changed, that lets me know that you really know nothing about the branches of government. Right. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, thank you. Okay, we appreciate right. that. But thanks for the crumbs. Yeah, but right, right. Exactly. But we want more. But yeah. No, I mean, I don't make light of President Obama at all or anything like that. It's just, it is very shocking to me that people are so taken aback by racism. And I'm like, well, okay, at what point did you think that it was over? I'm confused. What rock have you been living up under? Yeah. I mean, right now the police brutality, and don't get me wrong, killing us in the street is never, that should always shock you. Okay, that there should never be a point where you're used to it or whatever, but I'm just like, it's basically nothing new under the sun. You know, in this generation, or not even just our generation, but if you watch Straight Outta Compton, if you knew anything about the riots and things like that in like LA, police brutality has been an issue for a very long time or whatever. But before that, it was the lynching or whatever. You know, we had Ida B. Wells having to do an entire narrative on, because that's how many black people were being lynched at one point. And now it's like, they put the ropes down. Well, they don't need them anymore because now they have the badges and the guns, and it's a lot quicker to just shoot you.
Yeah.
You know, right. So, but it's nothing new under the sun, but it's just about continuing. It's not about reaching this point of no more racism. Okay.
Yeah.
That means that you're getting into people's minds, and you're changing people's minds or whatever. Like, no, it's, you keep pressing towards this equality, to heck with what you think about me. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can try to think whatever you want. Okay. We're talking about equal rights. That's what we're talking about. It's me being able to move about this country as a human being the same way as you. And I think that's the ultimate goal.
Preach.
Yeah. I almost put the offering plate. You got going, brother.
Right.
Because. Yeah,
it's also crazy how relevant our old stuff is. Just a funny side note, I was watching Hollywood Shuffle. Y'all remember that movie?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And how you can still bring Hollywood Shuffle in today, even considering with the Oscars and all that stuff. So even within our music and everything, it's interesting how some of it is still relevant to what's going on today in society. This is 20, 30 years ago.
Well, I think the faces change, but the issues stay the same.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's and again, it's about us all sitting down at the table of brother and sisterhood,
right?
And having the same meal. You see what I'm saying? It's not about me going to the kiddie table,
right?
Getting less because I'm not the most established person there, so I get a different meal. It's about all of us sitting down, and that has nothing to do with, as you have pointed out, whether you like me or not.
Right.
It has not to do with how you even think about me. It has to do with access and opportunity. And I think a lot of times the conversation is always an emotional conversation.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's how it's going
to
be.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I want you to love me. Well, right. You know, that would be cool. But I want to have the same opportunity as Jack over here trying to get this job, you see.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's important that we continue to press toward that, not just equality. Because I remember a professor told, he said, no, equality is not what you want. He said equality is, we all start off at the same line in the same race.
Right.
That's equality. Now, if I'm running against Carl Lewis,
do I
have an equal chance of
winning?
Some
differences
that?
There.
Yeah. See, DT was a track star, right?
National champion.
See, if I'm going to run against him, we might have equality. We starting off at the same. No, you need to move me up some. I need to have the same opportunity to win as he would have. And that's where the struggle comes in today is folks don't want to talk about equal opportunity.
Yeah, we're still playing catch up. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Still
like Brittany said, you know, it's that idea that I don't want to let go of something, you know, to be able to give somebody else an opportunity.
Right, because you think that you're going to lose by allowing me to gain. And it's like, no, there's
enough.
You
got it all already, damn it.
It's like, enough. I mean,
it was just a little bit.
Well, just think about getting back to, as we wind down the show, getting back to Mr. Trump. Getting back to the money that he got from his father to start off. How many of us walk into millions of dollars? Give me millions of dollars and see where I'm at today?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that is not equality.
Yeah. Right.
That is advantage. That is privilege. Now, somebody going to say here, well, his dad earned it. No. Okay, listen. The idea that rich people have earned their money is the biggest lie there is, okay?
Right.
Somebody's working in that company. Somebody's working on that factory. There's multiple people that have built up that wealth.
Right.
And to sit up and say, you have, look what you've done, or he's smart, he's got vision. Okay, try to lead yourself.
Right.
Okay, it doesn't work, does it? Okay, so this redistribution of wealth is a conversation people don't want to have in this country.
Well, really, I mean, that's the point, though. Like, you're supposed to get to a point where your money is the one working for you. Yeah. You're not doing the work, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, people contradict themselves and make their points in the same sentence. So, but, you know, going back to equality, mm-hmm. because that kind of sounded like a social Darwinism or whatever. Like, no, definitely not survival of the fittest because we are not at the same starting point or whatever. It's just when I hear people say, you know, well, we don't need to be accepted and all this. I'm like, it's not about that. It's not about whether or not you accept me. I don't care about that. I'm talking about can I get with you? You know, is there ever can we reach a point where you and I or what, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like we have the same opportunity.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's about.
We got a long way to go. And folks, I'll tell you what we're dealing with right now in a political system and these candidates, we moving
circus,
farther,
man.
Farther away from any discussion on equal opportunity.
What does this set the stage for in our future election? I mean,
it's scary, man.
Like the way that elections are even the way they go about themselves, the way people show up, the energy that are at the rallies these days, it's different from when, you know, before social media and these things that kind of bring more light to the situations. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's scary to think about the future of our elections or even the candidates that may come out.
You said the best when you said we spending more time focusing on the ignorance and the chaotic than actual issues are was coming up. So I'm with you.
A candidate in the future might be walking to the pulpit, just punch somebody.
That's why I'm gonna probably slap in the back of his head on the way. Like, man, we don't like you.
Or maybe old fashioned, just everybody shooting in the air with all these, concealed weapon gun, gun laws changing and everything. So
wild, wild west, huh?
And again, that word again to me is feeling more like a little reversion than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, because if you go look back at old presidential candidates, it's uncanny how some of their platforms are matching of the platforms.
Absolutely.
Was the norm. Yeah. Yeah. That was the norm then. Oh, for them, of course, and there wasn't any black people up there. Mm-hmm. You know, so in. I mean, there was a time where, lynchings were public.
Yeah.
That was like a day out at the park.
After church.
After church. That's what you did. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, hey, it's fun. Let's play pin the tail on the Negro.
Absolutely.
Fun. You know, so.
As a matter of fact, last week we talked about George Wallace. yeah. his election and how
segregation
that compares
now.
To
yeah. segregation mm-hmm. forever. He said that publicly.
I'm gonna yeah. die oh, by yeah. this idea.
And got yeah. applause.
Yeah, mm-hmm. oh, absolutely. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and you're right. And to me, that's what troubles when people say we're going to make our country great again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
So where, you know, what time frame are we talking about mm-hmm. if we're going to make this country great again?
Maybe they meant another planet or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Just take America.
Move everybody and
take America.
Start over again.
Make it great again on right, Mars. Yeah,
gonna wrap this up and take it over there.
Oh man, hey, you know what? I want to thank our guests for coming in
appreciate
today.
You guys
and,
coming in.
And the great
man,
work
honor,
that you're doing
an honor.
At the University of Central Oklahoma and for having me come by and bore you for a while. I appreciate
no.
it.
Nah, you were
and,
great, man.
No,
you
no,
were,
I appreciate it.
Very enlightening.
Yeah, nice. No, I appreciate it. We're going to look forward to having you, you know, having you come back and share with us and tell us what's going on, because I really believe you're doing something there that can not only benefit the universities in Oklahoma, but also around the world.
Right.
You know,
believe right.
You know, never underestimate what one person can do because history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us. Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.